Welcome to another News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels here with Preps Coordinator Anthony Zillis. We're in Tolono today at Unity High School. There's kind of a big football game here Friday night, Anthony. And pleased to be joined by Unity football coach Scott Hamilton, senior Ethan Miebach, and senior Stephen Miggott on the Rockets. And first off, guys, welcome. Congrats so far on the success of your season. You guys are 5-0, I guess. Scott, what's it been like so far this season? How do you like your team's progress, and where do you guys think you can go from here?
It's been a fun season for us with so many new faces to see this year and new places to go with the new conference and all of those things. So it's been exciting, and our first three games started off with opponents we've never seen before in IVC, Pontiac, and Prairie Central. And you know, I thought for the most part we played pretty well in those games. I think defensively we probably played a little better than what we anticipated playing, and then maybe a little bit more inconsistent than offensively than what we were hoping for. But, we put that together week four against St. Joe here at our place, and then, went up to Olympia, took care of business last week to get us set.
Ethan, what's the lead up to this week's game against Monticello? Like, obviously, you guys have been ranked highly, the whole season, and ranked I think second and third right now in Class 3A. What's the lead up like? How is it maybe even a little different from other games?
They're really good, and it's a lot of film work. It's a lot more intense practices getting ready for someone like Monticello, because with the history that we've had with them and their the skill they got over there, it's a really important game for us, especially with the stakes being so high for this game also.
Mm. Stephen, what's it like as a quarterback? Obviously, Monticello's got a pretty good defense so far this year. Just what's it been like preparing for that this week, and what do you kind of expect the atmosphere to be like here on Friday night at Hicks Field as well?
I think the atmosphere is going to be great. I know for a fact that they're going to bring a lot of people. Our community is excited. We've had difficulties with them in the past, so I think that just makes the game more exciting, because we had a lot of success against them before a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's going to be a great atmosphere. Monticello's defense, they play hard. Mm-hmm. Always flying to the around to the ball. And I just think that we have to be really disciplined. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to spread the ball, bounce it out. Yeah. And then I think we'll be good to go.
Gotcha. Scott, obviously their offense deservedly gets a lot of credit, a lot of talk is around their offense at Monticello. But what do they do? What have they been like defensively this year from what you've seen, and what makes them so kind of difficult defensively?
Well, I think they got great team speed. A couple of things that I noticed, there was a screen that was down field, about 12, 15 yards downfield, and I stopped the film and showed our guys that they had 10 gold hats at the ball 15 yards down the field. And so, just their effort that they play with. They got some good skill guys and some playmakers out there that get after you, and I think their defense is built around speed, and they've schemed it up well, and nothing unusual. That's what you'd expect from Coach Welter and the program that he's built over there, and so hopefully we can keep it mixed up, like Steven said, spread the ball around and get behind those big horses we got up front and see what we can do.
Ethan, obviously a lot of talk going into the season just based on the offense you guys had with everyone coming back, with Steven and Keaton Eckstein and four offensive linemen coming back. Some question marks on defense with you being at linebacker and kind of the leader of the defense. How much motivation did you guys have coming into the season to kind of maybe shut some of the critics up at all, or answer
before
some questions?
He answers that, just so you know, he was not happy when I said it was going to be our weak point. And when I said linebacker was going to be our weak point, he took it very personally. He didn't take a swing at me or anything. Now go ahead and answer.
We were really excited. Mm-hmm. As a defense coming in. We had everybody kind of looking at us under the spotlight to see if we would show up to mm-hmm. play with the offense. And we took it kind of personally to make it our goal to show everybody mm-hmm. that we're Unity Rockets defense, and yep. We're going to do our best every down, every game, just to shut the other team down and give the ball back to the offense to do what they do.
Well, Ethan, this is such a high scoring game every year. I think these last four meetings of you guys have combined for over 300 points or something like that, and over these last couple of years, what's that like? As a defensive player playing in this game, what does that do to provide maybe motivation, things like that?
Well, they're always really fun to play against because their offense is so diverse and it's spread out, and they do so many different things that going into the week you watch film on all the formations they run, and then once you get in the game you just find what they're doing, and it's so fun to play against because they run outside, inside. You get a little bit of everything, and it's really a good game to test your skills against a really good offense.
Steven, you're in your third year starting at quarterback here at Unity. What are the expectations like for a quarterback at Unity? First off, just with the tradition that the program has, the offense, that the reputation that they have, and also how has it changed for you maybe this year being a senior and being a proven guy in the area and what you can do at all?
Really, it's just about the leadership thing that comes around with being a quarterback. Sophomore year, there were great senior leaders on that team, and they didn't put too much pressure on me to do everything leadership wise. But over the course of the last 3 years, I've just really learned and watched guys above me lead and take things from that. And so I think now that I'm a senior, I just take the team and push them to new limits. We had that state run a couple years ago. And,
did you think it was going to be like that every year?
Yeah. There's things you can take away from all of it, from the state run versus last year. There were things we did bad last year, things we did good last year. Mm-hmm. Same thing with sophomore year. And so I'm just, bringing all the things I've learned together and putting it on the team this year.
Steven, I know I've asked you this before, but obviously not too many quarterbacks are also all-state hurdlers. What about specifically that event, versus even like a 100-meter dash? What about the hurdles maybe crosses over to playing playing quarterback and kind of playing that position with athleticism?
Well, one thing that being a hurdler really helps out with is being flexible and bringing speed to the table. Me being a dual threat, I run the ball a lot, I get hit a lot, and I think being flexible and being able to go around or hurdle objects in front of me helps me out in football, my vision. And then I think being flexible helps prevent injury too, because if I'm getting hit, bending stuff that shouldn't be bent places, I'm flexible enough to the point where it won't really hurt me that bad.
Right.
Scott, what's it going to be like? We mentioned briefly just the atmosphere. I was out here Tuesday before at the end of your practice, and there was a junior high cross country meet, and you could hardly find a place to park. I'm sure it'll be like that here on Friday night. Just what's that mean in terms of just the support it's going to get, and what's it like too just to see the community just come out in droves for what should be a great game on Friday night?
It's we're blessed here to have a great community to play in and go to school in, and I think Friday night will just showcase what our school means to our community, not necessarily our football team, but what the school means to the community or to the five communities and the support that we have. Not only do these five communities support football with that showing, but like you said, the other night we had a cross country meet and you couldn't find a place to park, and it just doesn't seem to matter what, if you excel at something here in this school district and in this community, you're going to have support. And as a guy who wasn't born and raised in the Champaign area, it's something you don't know until you get here. And that's one thing that has probably kept me here more than anything, is just that I've seen other programs or things kind of come and go. But it seems like every time somebody comes and wants to do something, the community jumps in behind it. And, I look forward to Friday for that, but just a great community.
And Scott, I heard you talking on the radio last night. If I heard it right, I heard you talking about how you pulled out some tape from like 2011 to show your team from your Monticello game that year. What do you? How far back do you go when you kind of approaching a game like this? And what is your approach scouting wise? I know you do you do as much scouting as almost anybody. What's your approach for a game like this?
I guess it shows I'm a little crazy. One of the things that, and as I shared with these guys last night at practice when we showed the clip from 2011, was that I can remember back to 1998 when Coley was at Aledo and preparing, and it was, it's the same stuff that he was doing in 98. And, my point from that 2011 game was simply this. It was the playoff game. We had been in the locker room. It was their first play from scrimmage. I told them, he's going to run something tricky to start the game off, and first play, and they did, and we had nobody from Monticello to Lolo near him, and as a coach, your job is to give the kids the information that they need to be successful, and I don't need to give them all that I've got when it comes to preparation. I need to point out the things that are key. And then try to have some other stuff so that if we have in-game decisions or in-game things that have to be made based off them, I have some more, that I've studied. So, but you can't overcomplicate. These guys got a lot going on in their schedules, and we don't get 20 hours of meeting time and those types of things. So it's try to show them what the basics are, make sure that we can stop those things, and then, for coaches to have something to lean on if we have to make a decision or make an adjustment in a game.
Ethan, what's a Friday like during the school day, the day of a game at all, here at Unity?
Well, we try to keep it as normal during the school day as possible, but big games like this, there's always going to be nervousness throughout the day and be sitting in class, tapping our fingers, getting all jittery, and as the day goes on, you just get more and more that way, but we try and focus on the day first, and then once the school day's over, it flip a switch. It's all football after that.
Steven, what's it been like for you two? I know you committed to Army before the season. Mm-hmm. I guess what was that process like in picking a school, and how nice was it too to have that decision done before your senior season started?
It was nice to have it the whole process over with before senior year. It was a very stressful process. I went. At this point last year, I didn't have any offers at all. I was just hoping somebody would give me the opportunity to play somewhere. And then the summer was crazy busy. I've been to North Dakota, Wisconsin, a bunch of different states, just going to football stuff, working on it. And now that it's all over, it's just nice. Everything's just off your shoulders. It's just Unity football from here on out. Okay.
It's going to be pretty fun to play in that offense, triple option offense, right? What's that going to be like as a quarterback?
I think it fits me well just because I run the ball. Coach lets me run the ball a lot. And, watching their games, their quarterback will run the ball a lot more than, most college quarterbacks. So I think that the offense suits me pretty well.
Obviously, Scott, we've talked a lot about Steven and Ethan and other guys on your team, but who are some guys that are kind of under the radar types on the team that just really are key to making this program, what it is this season?
Well, I think that Dawson Kaiser has had an excellent year for us. He's kind of been a guy. Him and Jake Reno are both our slot backs, and they've done a great job of filling the role of, receiver and running back and blocker. They both play on the defensive side as well. So I think those are two key guys that have done a really good job. And then probably the biggest surprise we've had of the whole season has been Ethan's run and made inside linebacker, Thanasi Pyle. Thanasi's kind of came out of nowhere. We went into camp, and to be honest, he was about our fourth or fifth linebacker. And second day of camp, he was our fourth or fifth linebacker, and we met, and we're like, is Thanasi really going to be our linebacker? And he's another one of the guys in this long history of guys that have bought in, and he does a great job. He's physical. He plays downhill. He's a little undersized and not quite as fast as you'd like, but he's got a heart of gold and leaves it all out there.
Gotcha. All right, guys, we know you got a busy day still left on this Thursday afternoon before you guys play Monticello on Friday night. We're going to wrap up this part of the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I want to thank Scott Hamilton, Ethan Miebach, and Stephen Miggett from Unity Football for stopping by. Get out to Hicksfield early on Friday.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
Welcome back to the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels here with Anthony Zillis. Again, want to thank Scott Hamilton, Ethan Miebach, and Stephen Miggett of the Unity Football Program for stopping by. Like I said earlier, should be a great game on Friday night when Unity hosts Monticello. They've been our top two teams in our weekly football poll ever since it came out the second day of practice back in early August. So it should be a heck of a game. And Anthony, I know you'll be there. And let's kind of shift gears to some other football around the area. I know last Friday night you're out in Mahomet for a emotional win for the Bulldogs against Mattoon. Mahomet Seymour won 40-21 against Mattoon, who was still kind of dealing with the after effects of that horrific event at the high school with the school shooting last Wednesday. And they played their first football game last Friday night. It was a close competitive game pretty much all the way until the end.
Yeah, it was kind of neat before the game. The Mahomet fans kind of saluted, gave a standing ovation to the Mattoon fans, who obviously had a tough week. A lot of them wore green kind of in tribute. Game was it was a good game. Was thinking it might be a 0-0 game early on. Yeah. It was 0-0 after the first quarter, but then ended up being a pretty high scoring one. And Mahomet played well. They showed the kind of the offensive talent and the explosion that we coach Keith Pogue thought that they could have before the season. And they so they'll be fighting to make the playoffs over these last couple weeks. It'll be interesting to see.
Bulldogs are at 3-2 going into week six. They have a tough game this Friday night, traveling down to Effingham, who's 4-1 and ranked in the latest Class 4A poll. And we'll see what the Bulldogs can do there. But some other area teams, we've already talked a lot about Unity and Monticello, but whoever wins Friday night here in Tolono will clinch a playoff berth with their sixth win. And a few other area teams are sitting at 5-0 going into week six. Tuscola, one of those. They had a big 50-0 win against Central A&M last Friday night at home. Central A&M came in at 4-0, just like Tuscola. And the Warriors really put the hammer down there. And then Gibson City, Melvin Sibley is at 5-0 as well. Westville has got a big Vermilion Valley Conference game this Friday night at home against Oakwood, who's sitting at 4-1. So the Tigers are also at 5-0. And then Watseka St. Anne, the Warriors under Aaron Hilgendorf, are trying to get to the playoffs early this year. I know they snuck in last year as a 5-4 team, but we'll see what they can do. And a lot of other teams are right on that verge of potentially getting that fifth win, one of those being Danville, which had a loss last Friday night. Anthony, lost 76-35 at Normal West. Some of these scores in the Big 12 this year are just ridiculous.
Right. I think Peoria scored 94 points last week.
Yeah.
Man, it would have been fun to see them break 100, but I don't know what they would have done with the scoreboard.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's
a great question. Just go back to zero or what?
Possibly.
But, it's just crazy looking at the Normal West, Peoria, those schools. But, Danville, obviously, kind of needs a win this week. You almost wouldn't think that being 4-1, but these last 3 weeks of the season, there's no guarantee. I think they'll win any of them, because you got Peoria, Normal Community, and then Bloomington, who's also a good team there. So, Danville this is kind of a sneaky, must win type of game.
Yeah, Danville heads over to Tommy Stewart Field on Friday night to play Centennial. The Chargers are at 2-3. They played last Thursday night and move on their schedule against Peoria Manual at Peoria Stadium and came away with 35-34 win. So the Kevie Johnson team will try to make another statement this Friday night and score a homecoming win against Danville and possibly alter some of their potential postseason plans. But looking back to last Friday, the one area game team, at least, that really just I think caught everyone's attention with their win was Fisher. The Bunnies went up to Mackinac and played Deer Creek Mackinac, the defending Class 2A state champs, who were off to a 4-0 start. They were ranked second in the AP poll going to last Friday, and Fisher came out with a 24-23 shocker to move to 3-2 on the season. I know I talked to Fisher's second-year head coach, Jake Palmer, earlier this week and talked to him last Friday night briefly after their monumental win. And it was just now it's kind of what do they do now moving right. forward? How do they deal with kind of everyone looking at them and seeing if they're for real or not? And they've got Hayworth in Fisher on Friday night for the Bunnies' homecoming. So we'll see if Fisher can move to 4-2, but they're certainly a surprise, I'd say, among area teams this year.
Yeah, I think they're kind of one of those teams that we've, you know, seen some surprising things from early, and they've kind of been on the verge of sort of breaking out, and mm-hmm. I think Jake Palmer has that program going in the right direction.
Yeah, Jaden Jones-Watkins had a huge game last Friday night, Jacob Horsch on defense, and like I said, they're sitting at 3-2, trying to make the playoffs for the first time since 2013, and you go just down Route 30, 136 there, too, in northern Champaign County, and you look at another team that doesn't have the greatest record right now, sitting at 2-3, but Rain Tool Football is a program I don't know if we've ever really talked about in depth on this podcast, the few years we've been doing this, going out to other schools, but they're at 2-3, had a big 54-7 win at St. Thomas More last Friday night. I know the Sabres are struggling with some numbers this mm-hmm. season and adjusting to a new coach in Nathan Watson, but Rain Tool's got a first-year coach too, and Tom Hess, former Rain Tool assistant, and the offense was clicking last Friday night, and they've got a chance to possibly go to 3-3 this week when they travel all the way up to Chillicothe and face Illinois Valley Central. But, Anthony, is it surprising to you, I guess, what Rain Tool's been able to do so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think this will be, the first time in about 10 years, I think, that they get to three wins, or first time in a while they've had multiple wins.
2010, okay. they went 3-6.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it's a bit of a surprise, but you never know with the new head coach coming in and kind of bringing in some new energy. I think Rain Tool is a team that it seems like they've had decent numbers over the years, and sometimes that's such a big part of what it takes. So I think maybe the makings of a program that could be on its way up.
One last quick football note before we move on to other sports. I know we both had our predictions in today's paper for Unity Monticello. Mm-hmm. I believe both of us picked Unity. Anthony, what's the final score here at Hicks Field on Friday night?
It's just hard to tell, because Monticello has such a strong defense this year that you want to give credit to that, but they just score so many points and get off the field. Their offense gets off the field so quick that it's always high scoring games. So I will go. I picked Unity in the paper, so I guess I had to pick Unity again, yeah. Even though I don't know. Maybe can I split my vote?
Sure.
I'll say it's 47-44. I'll go with Unity since I already went with them.
I'm going to go with Unity 42-35. Sorry, Sages fans in Piatt County. I still think your team can make a run towards a possible state title game berth, along with Unity as well. It'll be really interesting to see once the brackets come out where those two teams fall in 3A, or I know there's been sort of speculation too about Unity possibly moving up to 4A when it's all said and done too. So a lot of things still have to be sorted out, but like I said earlier, it should be a heck of a game here Friday night in Tolono, where we're gonna move on to some other sports when we come right back on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
Welcome back to the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. Talked a lot of football so far in this week's show, and moving on to some other sports now. Anthony, you'll be at Centennial tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Champaign yep. Central at Centennial, and the big rivalry matchup there on the volleyball court. What are you kind of anticipating out of tonight's match at all?
Yeah, it should be a pretty interesting interesting match. I think Champaign Central has kind of been a team that's sort of hard to get a read on this mm-hmm. year. They've won a bunch of big games, but then then I think they've lost four or five mm-hmm. Recently. So, but a lot of talent on that team. They'll outsize Centennial, mm-hmm. By far. They've got 2 6-2 players on their front line with Mira Chopra, who's a freshman, and then Illinois commit Riley Hinton, along with Rachel Hurt, who could be another Division I college volleyball player. Mm-hmm. So I think that's fascinated to see how Centennial deals with that. They have some talent too, just not quite as big up front with Sahira Ellis, mm-hmm. who is I think she's thinking about possibly walking on playing Division I volleyball too. So should be interesting to see kind of how that plays out, and if Central can utilize that height and talent. I think that's kind of been the question for them all season.
Yeah, Centennial, I believe, comes in with about a 7-11, 7-12 record. Maybe Central's at 15-9, and like you said, they've lost a lot here recently. They had a great run almost 3 weeks ago, winning the Bulldog Invitational over at mm-hmm. Muhammad Seymour, and I think maybe some people thought that might kind of be the turning point for them to keep things going. But Urbana beat them this past week, and mm-hmm. a close 3-set loss, and I think Manny Rodriguez's program is just trying to find that consistency before mid-October rolls around and the postseason comes here as well. Well, the postseason actually starts next week, hard to believe, especially with the abnormally warm weather we've had here in East Central Illinois for most of September. But boys and girls golf next week, regional mm-hmm. action starts for all teams across the state. And Anthony, I know you wrote a big story this past Sunday about Elena Bowie, sophomore at St. Thomas More, possible favorite to win the 1A state title. You'd have to think.
Yeah, I mean, especially if she has one of these days where she hits a 64 or something exactly. like that, I think that would be the best score all time.
Ever in state tournament history.
Yeah, so she's definitely up there, and just a sophomore who can hit it over 250 yards, and hit it with precision. So one of the favorites.
What was the fun part for you, I guess, in working with that story? And like you said, she's only a sophomore, so you've got the rest of this season and two more seasons of high school golf left for her.
Right. It's she's a very thoughtful kid. Mm-hmm. As a sophomore in high school, a lot of kids. It's hard to do an interview at that mm-hmm. at that young. But she's very 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 good. And I asked her. I said, "Oh, when did you know you could be a really great golfer?" And she's like, she kind of sat back and she said, "Well, I don't know that I am." Yeah. Or it depends on what your standards are. I was like, "Oh, that is a really you really turned that around on me." No,
you went deep,
right? Yes, but very very critical of her of her own game and always trying to improve. And her coach Pat Hederman thinks she's gonna. I think she's going to break 60 by the time that she's out of high school, which would be
pretty
incredible.
She's definitely one to watch on the Erie girls golf scene as their postseason start next week, along with Mia Hayasaki, mm-hmm. Champaign Central senior, two-time defending all-area golfer of the year for the Maroons. She finished second earlier this week at the Big 12 meet. And on the boys' side, Champaign Central in Class 2A, I'd have mm-hmm. to say, is the leading team in our area to make a run. Deep in the postseason, and Anthony, you had a story in Tuesday's News Gazette about a pretty cool moment for the Maroons golf team.
Right, Sam Watts, mm-hmm. a sophomore, had his father Ben passed away of cancer last week, and he had kind of obviously he hadn't touched a golf club in a long time, but his teammates kind of rallied behind him. We're at the service on Friday, and then on Monday Sam comes to school, and they tell him that they have new hats, and he just thinks, mm-hmm. "Oh, we've got a new hat to wear." So he goes and picks them up, and it's their same hats that they've had, but stitched on them is his dad's initials. So mm-hmm. they kind of did a tribute to that, and then they ended up winning the Big 12 championship. Sam contributed a score, was fourth on the team, and they ended up having him go up and accept the plaque for the championship. So it was really really nice to see, and Sam says his teammates are keeping him in a happy place, which is really nice to see.
No, that's a great great touching story, and obviously some tragic circumstances that the Watts family is having to deal with right now. But it's always great to see that sports can kind of transcend all of that and bring everyone together there in that sense. Well, we're gonna wrap it up for this week's News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. We'll be back next week at a location to be determined right now. We'll see how the area football scene plays out this Friday night. But once again, I want to thank the fine folks here at Unity High School in Tolono for having us. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels. For Anthony Zillis, Ed Bond, everyone back at the DWS studio, this has been the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast.